As we continue in worship, we turn to the opportunity to hear a word from God through the Holy Scriptures. We're continuing this day in the book of Romans. We're in the 11th chapter. It's kind of weird. It goes from verses 1 through 2a, which is the first part of verse 2, through, and then it jumps all the way to verses 29 through 32. Hear a word from God. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, Paul says. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. And jumps over to verse 29. It says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together once again and for the opportunity to read upon your scriptures, Lord, that you might continue to allow us to grow in knowledge and understanding of your word as we live them out in the world around us today. So God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. God is in control. And we are not. Throughout the scriptures, God calls broken and hurt and disobedient people and saves them to new life. God gives the law to Moses and others throughout the Old Testament, and it is not obeyed. God then sends Christ and God incarnate to live among the people, to live and be an example of creation of the new law for the people, and even Christ is rejected by the people. Even then, we can see how God has a purpose and a plan and continues to work through all circumstances to save the people through his death and his resurrection. God is in control. Throughout this series, we've been looking at this kind of book of Romans. We looked at chapter 8 and chapter 9 and chapter 10, and here we are in chapter 11, and we've seen how God works throughout the brokenness of our lives through his grace and inseparable love for us. We've seen how God overcomes the brokenness in human relations, uniting us in Christ as children of God. Unfortunately, so many churches have and continue to create separation and division among God's people going back many years. In 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. Said, it is appalling that the most segregated hour of the Christian America is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. This was based mainly on racial separation, and according to experts, that assertion remains true today, that about 8 in 10 American congregants still attend services at a place where a single racial or ethnic group comprises at least 80% of the congregation. But today, so many churches aren't just divided racially, but with so many other theological differences that come up regarding baptism or calling or ordination. We've seen churches today that divide them within themselves to align themselves to a political party. Friends, God's plan for the Christian community, for the world, is restoration, unity, and wholeness. Paul trusts in this as he sorts through the frustrating divisions, as he works through it between Jews and Gentiles and the law and grace, among a few things. And so chapter 11 starts off with Paul posing this question, has God rejected his people? By no means, he says. In other translations, he says, of course God didn't reject God's people. And the strength of his answer at least suggests that he can't even imagine a situation or a scenario under which God would reject his people. He offers himself as an example of God's persistent mercy to a stubbornly sinful Jew. Paul will have no part in a theology that implies God will not keep God's promises. For if we've talked about, if God will not prove faithful to the promises made throughout Israel's history, then Christians have no good reason to expect God will keep the ones made to us through Christ. God cannot have rejected the people whom he foreknew, the scripture says. Simply because, as it says later on in chapter 11, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Eugene Peterson's Message translation of chapter 11, verse 29 actually says that God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty. Never canceled, never rescinded. There's not too many things today under full warranty. You buy a washer and dryer, and a year later, it's not under warranty anymore. You buy other things, and it goes off warranty real quick. But you see, God's gifts and God's call upon our life as children of God are under full warranty. Never canceled. Never rescinded. Irrevocable. Paul is emphasizing that God does not go back on God's word. And God uses the salvation of the Gentiles to inspire jealousy in the hearts of the chosen people, for the mercy of God extends to all people. God uses unlikely circumstances to build the church. Gentiles believed when many in Israel turned away. Then many in Israel believed when the people went when provoked by Gentile belief. That's kind of what he's working through there in verses 29 and 30. You see, in Paul's estimation, God accomplishes salvation of all Israel through these reciprocal movements between Jews and Gentiles. That both Jews and Gentiles have been disobedient, and both have been the beneficiary of the other, and now both receive mercy. You see, God works among Jews and Gentiles in salvation such that no one may boast or be arrogant or wise in their own conceits. And then as they live out their faith with one another, no one may think more highly of themselves than they ought to, but must use their gifts humbly in a body with many members. No one may pass judgment on another or cause another to stumble, but must live out their faith to please his neighbor rather than himself. You know, I wonder as I think about heaven and as I think about what heaven will be like, and I always wonder, like, who will see in heaven and be like, wait, hold up, you're here? You mean when Paul said that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, he was not playing? He was right? He wasn't joking? That no one has ground for boasting because all stand before God on the basis of grace? I think humility and wonder should guide us as we consider salvation, ours or anyone else's. For God is in control. God is in control. And in chapter 11, we've seen, as we've seen throughout these last few weeks from the book of Romans, that we find a passage primarily about God's faithfulness less than the successes and failures of a people's faith. as we all do our best, as we all fall short. Romans 11 points to a God who is patient with those who prefer to reject God. This text offers hope for the worst of sinners, that includes me and you. As long as we live, God offers us the opportunity to receive grace with our faith. And he calls us, and he doesn't write us off. And he calls us out of wrath, judgment, and sins. And he does this to prove his righteousness and loyalty, his faithfulness to his people. Friends, we know that there is brokenness all around us, sometimes closer than we prefer to acknowledge. We say, if God is in control, then why is there poverty? Why is there people sleeping on the streets, on the sidewalks? Why is there people who hurt themselves, as we've seen this week? Why is there people who hurt others, as we've seen this week? Why is there disease that takes our loved ones way too early? And friends, these are life's unanswerable questions. I don't have the answer, and if anyone does, I would be fearful of them. We can't pretend to know all of the answers to these things. We often make things worse when we try to explain them. But we can and we must trust that God will be merciful. That in spite of all that is broken, sometimes through our own disobedience, we trust that God is able to work through any and all situations for the good and the mercy of all. Something only God can do. God is in control. God is in control. Look to your neighbor and tell him God is in control. Now look the other way and tell that person God is in control. God is in control, and we are invited to be a participant in sharing that message and being a participant in God's mission and restoration and unity in the world around us, working beside God to heal people, heal broken people in broken places. At the end of chapter 11, Paul ends in worship. He envisions all God's people worshiping together in view of God's faithfulness and mercy. The whole letter moves in this direction, that may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may have one voice, glorifying the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps maybe we can be a people who reflect that movement in the world around us, as we consider others in our understanding of salvation and practical living and worship. As I think to myself, I wonder how in the world this kind of wild teenager from Beeville, Texas, has been called to preach the word of God each week, and I can't do anything else but give thanks for God's mercy in my life and have a desire to share that mercy with as many people as I can, reflect that mercy in the world around me. As a church, that we would be faithful in finding ways to go outside into the world, presenting the gospel in word and deed to all, knowing that God is in control. And even as sinful as we are, God is able to work through us through his mercy and his grace to use us to be agents of his love, so that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our call That's our call. Next week, we are transitioning from this book of Romans to a series talking about the art of neighboring and what it means to really dig into meeting our neighbors, meeting those around us, being the hands and the feet, being a listening ear, being present wherever we find ourselves. So we'll be using this book called The Art of Neighboring. If you want to look it up on Google or Amazon or however and get a copy, you can do that and read through it with us. And I think maybe this church did it a few years back, but I'm assuming that maybe everyone has a new neighbor in the last 8 years. I don't know. We just moved to a new neighborhood, and I have all new neighbors, and I miss the neighbors that we had, but I look forward to meeting the neighbors right around us. How do we be the church to those who surround us? We'll be looking at that over the next few weeks as we share God's grace and love with those around us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together. We thank you for your word for us. We thank you for continuing to work in our lives, even as we fall short, Lord. Would you never give up on us? And Lord, so may we live into that grace and that love that nothing can separate us from you. A gift that's irrevocable, that's never canceled, that as we live into our baptisms, Lord, we might experience our calling as a child of God. So, Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this church community, our brothers and sisters, both here and not here in our world. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.